Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're not alone. With over 1,000 hormone disruptors in our environment, it's no wonder things can feel out of balance. On top of that, natural changes like PMS, menopause, and other life stages can leave you feeling tired, irritable, and trapped in a constant battle with your body. But here's the good news. You don't have to suffer through it. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is here to help. This herbal formula fine-tunes your hormones, balancing estrogen, testosterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol, which can contribute to weight gain, racing thoughts, poor sleep, and more. With over 40,000 five-star reviews and a bottle selling every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. Ready to feel like yourself again? For a limited time, get 15% off your first order at happymammoth.com using code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to fling your favorite fishing rod around. And here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance covers your boat and your belongings. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to high-five someone. But not while you're holding your fishing rod. That's a prized possession. So hold on tight with both hands and keep it covered through boat insurance. Get more with GEICO.
Recordings of my voice if I'm in a coma to myself. That should draw me out. Although
And what's your reasoning for that?
I don't know. I feel like my voice, it calms me. I'm my internal monologue, so any time I've been stressed, that's been the voice that's like pulled me out of it, calmed me down.
Sure.
But I will say, if I ever am in a coma and I wake my ass up and I got a beard and my hair is unkept and my eyebrows are undone, I will be so pissed. Just put that out there. I'm in a coma. Someone better shave me. At least the face. You ain't got to get the rest. Nobody's messing with it. It's fine. I'll get it when I'm out. But don't let me wake up. I won't know who I am. I've never seen my... I'd wake up like, who am I?
It kind of reminds me of one of those movies of where, like, body switch. What was the one where the guy and that girl... it's an older movie. The guy and the girl switch. Do you remember what I'm talking about?
Vaguely. I remember, like, Freaky Friday and stuff like that.
Yeah. But I feel like that would happen to you. You'd wake up.
Oh, the hot chick with Rob Lowe and the lady from Mean Girls and The Notebook, Rachel McAdams. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, I love that. Do you remember the baseball? He thinks he's gonna score. If you let him go all the way, then you are a whore. Culture's cut, studies, flowers. Yeah. I remember the whole thing.
I completely forgot about that.
I used to love. I have to watch that. That was such a funny movie.
There we go. That'll be what we'll do this evening.
When they try to get a free smoothie and he's like sucking the whipped cream off. They're like, that'll be $12.85.
Josh, did you notice that I got us a new lava lamp?
I did, and it matches.
It does. It's the same one that Kim has.
They're so relaxing.
I know. Although, Kim is not here with us today. And, oh look, that view is interesting.
We finally killed her.
I know.
Where's the body? The family wants to know.
Well, she fed pigs for...
a little while.
A couple weeks.
Yeah, a couple weeks.
Bless her heart. Kim wasn't feeling well, so she decided not to join us today, which is probably good because I hate when people get me sick. That's a huge pet peeve of mine.
Especially this, like, every time I get on Facebook, there's a new vomiting and diarrhea virus spreading across America. The flu, bird flu's mutated. Eggs are going up.
You'll die out your butthole.
Yeah. Like, stay the hell away from
me. Well, and then you go to these, like, you know, like, not family events, because we don't really hang out with our family much, Josh. But, like, these friend get-togethers or events.
People go riding for the hug. Yeah. I am hugging, like, in flu season.
And then you'll have someone who sounds horrid, and they're like, yeah, I have a little cold. And I'm like, girl, I know that ain't no cold.
You got bronchitis.
Yeah. I'm like, that's the COVID. That's what you got. Mm. She's like, yeah, I just got a little cold. Can't taste nothing. Can't breathe very well.
When I keep seeing the don't kiss babies. I'm like, first off, no problem. Wasn't planning on. Babies are always wet and sticky.
Right.
There's always something on their face. I don't kiss babies.
Right.
But you're not supposed to, because I think it's RSV or something or other. And I mean, they're just susceptible. And just anybody that has kids, kids are always sick.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't want no kids around. My little nephew, he's 14. No. I'll put my hands on his shoulders and lean like almost like a British cheek kiss, like, but no actual touching.
Right.
Because no, they don't wash their hands.
No.
They're worse than grown men.
Yeah.
That's one of the things, you know, uncle's got to pick on the kids.
Oh, right.
I'll be like, hi, bub, good to see you. Oh, and I'm like, when's the last time you washed your hands? And if he can't answer me fairly quickly, I'm like, go give him a scrub down. Get it under the nails.
Nothing. It won't hurt nothing.
I always bring him deodorant, too. I'll just, like, give him a hug and, here.
Do you know a secret for how to wash your nails appropriately?
Yeah, you just scrub on the palm.
Yes, I learned that last year.
I had to take that, that's so nice. When I became a CNA all those years ago.
Oh, that's true.
Like, they watch you to get your state certification, like, washing your hands, and then that I didn't get them completely dry enough. Because... You know, when you're working the actual job, you don't like.
Right. You're not over there hanging out.
I got briefs to change on old people. But she was like, oh, get another towel and make sure that they're dry.
One of the stories I heard about how important it is to make sure that you wash like that for under your nails is there was a nurse that worked at a hospital, and little did she know she was giving MRSA to everyone. Because she did. Yeah, she was washing her hands, but
I would keep my nails so short too, so that nothing.
Well, if you're dealing with poo, I would have no nails.
When the nurses and CNAs would have their like the long nails done.
Well, first of all, I don't know how they're wiping their own butthole.
You do it like a.
Oh, that's right. I feel like you've told me this. You do that little.
Yeah. To make a fist, you got to like just flat down. Like you're. That's how, like, anytime in movies you see someone with long nails like throwing a fight.
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, they even make little tongs like when you go to the gas station and get your card out. Because if your nails are long, you can't reach in that.
That's true.
So they actually make little keychain tongs
that's
to like
cute.
Get your. Yeah. I mean, you have to learn how to have them. But once you have them. But sure. I don't believe, like, they're too long. You're not scrubbing unless you have, like, a brush at every time you wash your hands. And I don't think those CNAs were getting all the poop out of them.
No,
and then they go to lunch. And then pick their teeth. I always picture them picking their teeth. Like, like,
I got something in my teeth. It's poo.
That was my favorite thing to do at the nursing home. Was
pick people's teeth?
No. clean the dentures.
Right.
clean the... residents' fingernails, because you know they can't cut them themselves, and if they were diabetic, the nurses would. But it was the responsibility of CNAs and activities. Once I was a CNA, to handle the nails, and you know, a lot of them eat with their hands, and some of them play with their poo, and their nails get quite. Disgusting. Like a lot of buildup. And
look, Kim's not here, and we're just sitting here talking.
I know. What made me think of a disgusting, crusty old...
Bless her heart.
Love you, Kim.
So, Josh, I wanted to tell you some things that happened to me over the week. For the very first time, at least the first time that I visually saw it happen...
Oh, God.
I was driving, and I, as like someone... You know, you're stopped at a stoplight, and someone going in the opposite direction is like crossing in front of you.
Yeah.
This lady... And I'm telling you, we live in a small town. If I ever see her out in public, I'm going to have a little conversation with her. She looks at me like she's just staring at my Cybertruck, you know, and she's driving her little Escalade. And then she just flips me off. And I thought, I don't know you.
Right.
Why is your problem?
Talk about hostility.
Yeah, I know. And I was like,
jealousy,
and also,
jealous bitch.
I know, that's what I thought too. I was like, well, her face cream must not be working today. Mm-hmm. She's in a bad mood. But anyway, I thought, you know, I would never be able to do that. Just randomly flip someone off for absolutely no reason.
Been a shitty driver, like, you know, tailgating me and stuff. But
for no reason.
Well, especially, imagine you're just driving and the make and model of a car enrages you so much that you flip the drive, like... Who gives a rat's ass?
Well, and also, I feel like anytime there's any type of road rage like that, you run a certain percentage in the U.S. of getting shot.
Yeah, people go... I mean,
yeah.
It makes
sense.
So
I was just thinking, was that worth it? And also,
she don't know.
She may not be alive today because of that horrible karma.
You don't know what people...
No, and I...
Someone will follow you and wait till you, you know...
Well, and I don't think that she really thought it through because, like, I saw every little bit of what she looks like. And I know what she drives. I'm just thinking, first of all, I'm not going to hurt this woman. But if I saw her out in public, I would approach her and be like, hey, remember that person you flipped off in that Cybertruck? That was me.
Rude as hell.
And then I'd be that 6'9" man over and be like... So the next time you decide to flip someone off, you just sit on it.
My new thing I got from Christian Chenoweth is when someone's like rude or, you know, being a Karen or just, you know, being a B-I-T-C-H to you, don't retaliate or anything negative. Just look at them in the face and go, I forgive you.
There you go.
And it'll piss them off because they'll be like, I don't need your forgiveness, but you do. And I forgive you. Do. Just keep saying, I forgive you.
Yeah. It reminds me of that episode of The Golden Girls where Dorothy was smoking and she ended up burning Sophia and new husband's
pizza shack.
Yeah. And so she was like, Mom, I'm so sorry. Do something, you know, yell at me. And she's like, no, it's okay. And she's like, but Mom.
I'll feel worse.
Yeah. I'll feel worse if you don't do something. And she's like, I know this ain't my first rodeo. I always remember that. Our uncle had done that a long time ago. Myself and two of my cousins had done something that we got in a lot of trouble for, but...
I'm shocked.
I know.
Honestly, Shane never did nothing.
Well, it wasn't my fault.
I was so young. Who instigated this?
It was a misunderstanding. You were never the one
who was like, let's start trouble.
Oh, no, I was way too young. But I remember the moment that my cousins and I were in his truck and he was taking us back to his house and no one said a word in the truck. And then all of a sudden he said those words that you never want to hear.
Not tonight.
No, he said, I'm so disappointed in you guys. And we're all like, we'd rather him
hood
just
wipes.
Right. We were just like, we'd rather him yell and beat us than say he's disappointed.
The only time that ever worked on me was the one time grandma said it. She never said it to me again because I literally collapsed into the floor into a puddle. But dad and any man that would say it to him, like, I'll give two rat's asses.
So the other day when you have a Cybertruck, one of the cool features is that you can back up like your home electric. So like if the electric goes out, it will just change so that instead of charging like the home charging your truck, the electric reverses and it will power the house.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, and so it will power my entire house for like 3 days, three or four full
good
days.
Good in a pinch.
I know. Well, I've never lost electricity for more than a day and a half too. So I feel like you know, if I have five 4 days, that's good.
And you have the gas stove. That helps.
It definitely. And like if I were to lose electric, like I'd be turning stuff off that I'm not that I don't need. So I feel like it would last even longer.
Goodbye, fluorescence.
Right. But anyway, so this you have to, you know, anytime you deal with electricity, you have to deal with an electrician.
Oh yeah. And every time, messing with it.
No. Well, in fact, like anytime I read directions on something and it's like somewhat electrical, I'm thinking, I always remember that our dad's neighbor had, you know, got electrocuted and died.
Freaked me out.
Yeah, I know. So I'm thinking,
if it's anything past, plug it in. let's call somebody.
Well, and you know, sometimes you'll buy something and it's like, take off the faceplate and put this new thing. I'm like, no, I don't unscrew anything around electrical, nothing. I'm calling somebody. But anyway, I've been trying to get a hold of this electrician because, like, you have to work through Tesla, who does a certified electrician, to come out to your house. And I'm telling you.
This already sounds like it takes a phone call. I'm uninterested. I would never.
Oh, I didn't talk to him on the phone.
Oh, good.
Like, you just go back and forth. I'd be like,
don't need that.
Well, thankfully, they would text. But I was supposed to meet with him 3 months ago.
Oh.
And something kept happening to where he couldn't make it. And so I was, you know, I'm not a huge deal, whatever. I'm easygoing. Not a necessity. I'm flexible. Yeah, I'm flexible. Well, so our appointment was this week. And I swear that they told me that it was going to be between 2 and 5.
Oh, God.
And I double-checked it, and it was between 2 and 5.
2 a.m. to 5 p.m.
But at 8:30 in the morning, he arrives at my house. Now, that night, I sometimes have, like, spouts of insomnia.
Oh, same.
So I didn't go to sleep until about 4 o'clock. So I was dead asleep. I happen to wake up, and every once in a while I'll wake up and check my phone just to make sure no one's called me. And I did that, and then I realized that he had been at my house like 10 minutes earlier. And I'm thinking, dude,
that wasn't
even, not even in between our window. And we have worked so hard to get this done. You
just show up.
I know. So I called him and I was like, hey, sorry. And I told him a little lie. I was like, I'm so sorry. I was in the shower and I didn't hear you call. I mean, I didn't hear you knocking.
I was in the bubble bath.
Because like the last thing you want to do is be like, oh, I'm sorry. I was sleeping.
I would.
You know,
I was sleeping because it's 8:30 in the morning.
Yeah. And I think it was like on a Saturday too. So, you know, yeah, it was. Yeah. But
I'd open the door with a knife. What the hell do you want?
But so he comes back to the house and he does this whole thing. And there's always that moment when you talk to someone who's a specialist in something where they try to explain something to you and they take like 5 minutes to explain this.
Oh, Jesus.
And so he was explaining to me this thing.
I'm going
to
put the dingle hopper and the doohickey in the
house. Yeah. Holla. And I was like, you know, if I hire you, I want you to take care of this.
Yeah, I don't need to know.
I don't need to know what you're doing. I just need to know that you're doing it correctly and that you're doing it how it's supposed to be done and that it works.
That's exactly my take on any type of medical procedure I have to have. Like, I hate when people are like, oh, I have to have, you know, my tonsils taken out. And then the doctor, they want to know from the doctor, like, we're going to do this. This is what they look like. No. You wheel me back. You do what you have to do,
right?
And then you keep me medicated till I don't feel nothing, you know, and it's healed. Yeah. Like, I don't
need to know about it. No pictures,
I won't even look at it until it's nothing but a thin scar that's completely healed and might not pop open when I sneeze 7 times. No.
So another crazy thing happened to me this week. I'm telling you, I had a lot of crazy things. And so I always have to write them down because I'll forget, first of all. And also because we talk about these things on the show, we intentionally do not tell each other things throughout the week. But then a week goes by and I'll forget. So I have to like write down a little note to myself. Until
we get home later and then we're like, huh.
Well, so I decided that I've been having some cell phone service issues, which is why you couldn't text me the other day. You tried to text me and it didn't come through. And so I finally got tired of it. So I ended up going into AT&T thinking, well, I'm just going to switch to AT&T because they have really good service. So I go in. Now, when I walked into the AT&T store here in our town, there was no one in there.
There never is.
Like, no employees.
It's by the vape shop here
in town. It is, yes. Well, I saw that vape shop and I was like, I bet Josh knows this corner very well. That's the one I go in. Yeah. So I go in there and there's no customers. I don't see any employees. And I'm thinking, I wonder if like there's people tied up in the back. Maybe I should just leave. So I like turned around.
It's that Popeye's chicken.
Right? And so I like started turning around and walking towards the door. And finally, one of the employees comes out. And he's like, hey, I'm so sorry I didn't hear you walk in. I'm like, oh, you know, whatever. So I told him that I wanted to switch to AT&T.
I just didn't want to find nobody. He's like, come back later. That's
exactly. I'm like, I don't want to be, you know, included in this.
Yeah.
My luck, the perpetrator comes out and it's like, oh, I got another one to tie up in the back, you know, and I don't tie up easy.
Right. You know, I'm going to put up a struggle.
At the very least. I'd be like, look, dude, let's just pretend like I didn't see you. You didn't see me. I ain't going to say nothing. I don't want to be a part of this.
Have you seen a seeing eye dog? I can't see nothing with that. I don't hear him. I'm just going to walk on up.
But anyway, so I explained to him that I wanted to switch and I have 2 phone lines. Josh, I was in there for 3 hours.
Jesus Christ.
This person had no idea what they were doing.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, I'm a little tech savvy.
Is there nobody else there?
No, there was no other employees. But people kept coming in. So there's a long line behind me. So, like, that makes me feel self-conscious.
Right.
Because this person who I
start to feel like everyone's giving you daggers.
Yeah, and, like, this guy worked at AT&T. He had an AT&T shirt on. But do you know what he... And this should have been my first sign, and I should have just, you know, played blind and walked out. But when he saw me and apologized for not hearing me, he said, welcome to Verizon.
Oh, gee. What?
And I thought, and for a moment, you know, this is the first time I've ever been in this store. I thought, did I walk into Verizon? And then he goes, oh, I'm so sorry. I used to work for Verizon. And I was like, okay, no big deal, whatever. Well.
Why'd you leave?
Right. Did they fire you? Well, he told me that he was filling in at that store, that he wasn't from here.
I'll come back another time.
Right. That's what I thought. And so he's like, but I am a store manager at a different store. And I was like, okay. So I thought by those credentials, and he wore an AT&T shirt, that he would know what to do.
Lord help.
But evidently he did not. And so, you know, I've never worked for a carrier.
No.
But I'm a little tech savvy, so I know my way around things. So I walked in, and I, Josh, just like how you like to prepare, and I overly prepared. Like, I wrote down my phone, both my phone's IMEIs.
Yeah, you want to make it as streamlined as possible.
I put my name, address, phone number, everything that he could possibly need during this transaction.
Above and beyond what normal people would do.
And he kept saying, like, I'm so impressed that you wrote all this down, because I'm thinking, because I don't want to be in here forever. Still was in there for 3 hours.
3 hours.
And it's a simple procedure. We're just porting in these two numbers, add new lines. Shouldn't be difficult. But he kept getting confused on his little iPad. That's and so true. I swear to you, I think for a total of 6 times, he handed me the iPad.
So here,
Yeah, so I was like, do you want me to take a look at that? And he's like, yeah, here, go ahead. But then at the end, he swore up and down that it worked, that I'm now on AT&T. Everything was switched over. My lines were ported. And I looked at him and I was like, well, if that was the case, why does my phone still show my old network in the top left corner? And when I go into the cellular service, it still shows my old network.
Oh, Jesus.
And he's like, well, it might show that for a day. And I'm thinking, this guy is just feeding off.
He don't even know.
No. And I said, well, I've not gotten any notifications from AT&T.
Yeah.
I've not gotten an email. I've not gotten a text message. I ain't got nothing. And I was like, and furthermore, I don't, like, it did not prompt me to download a new eSIM, which is how I would get onto your network. And he's like, yeah, that's an automatic thing, and it will just take a couple of hours to do.
Look, I don't believe you.
Well, that's exactly how, and I was like, I'll be back tomorrow, I said in my head. And I was like, okay, thank you for your help. So I left. I go home. The next morning. Like 6:30 in the morning, that man texts me.
What the hell?
This person who I had never met, but that one
6:30, they're not even open.
No, I know he was not. Yeah, no. And he texts me and he's like, hey, I was checking your account and I think something's wrong. You might want to call in to AT&T. And I was thinking, first of all, when I give you my number, that does not mean I want you to text or call me. That just means that I'm trying to get this service switched over. Like, very
unprofessional. That doesn't give you permission to text me.
No. So then I was like, okay, well, I'm going to call AT&T and I'll also complain on this dude. And I called and the AT&T was like, because of the holiday, we are experiencing high volumes.
Oh, yeah.
Your wait is going to be three hours to 4.5
Not
hours.
Not another 3 damn
and
hours.
And I was like, who has time for all of this bullcrap? So I go back into the store. And there was a completely different person, two people actually, two different people. And as soon as I walked in, the atmosphere was a lot different. It was more relaxed. And the lady came up and she's like, hi, da, 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 da. And I, you know, told her what the problem was. And she's like, you had Steve, didn't you? And I was like, yeah, that was his name. I was like, yeah, that was who was helping me yesterday. She goes, all morning, we have been fixing Steve's problems.
Oh, God.
Because he doesn't evidently know what he's doing. But she helped me and she got it
figured out.
It's
one of those where he lied on his application.
That's exactly what I thought, too. I was like, sure, I have years of experience.
I've ran a store.
Well, and then I was like, what store is he the store manager of? And she goes, to be honest with you, I'm pretty sure that he's lying about that. I have heard from other people who have been in today. That is what he told people.
He probably worked at one of those kiosks at the mall that sell phone cases.
I bet. Yes, I bet that is the case. But I was just so frustrated. And I mean, I am now on the AT&T network now.
Oh, good.
So I got to figure it out. But I'm telling you, if I ever run into Steve or that woman who flipped me off this week, we're going to have a little kumbaya moment. I know. Oh,
and right at like,
I was so frustrated.
Happy New Year to you too, motherfucker. God.
Well, before I get into my mystery today, Josh, I have just a couple Barbara Flapdoodle fests. And when we go over to Unmasked, I actually asked some of our patrons for some of their words that grandma would have used. So I haven't read through them yet. So we're going to go through those together, and I'm really excited about it.
Persnickety.
Yes.
I love it.
And evidently my numbering on my paper got misnumbered. So,
oh no.
I know. It's like a huge pet peeve of mine is that like I like my papers to have a certain rhythm to them. And now my 1, 3, 6, 7, 8.
I know somehow, even though she's not here, it's Kim's fault.
Absolutely. I bet she like hacked into my computer because, you know, she's really high tech. Oh, yeah. All right, Josh, the first Barbara Flapdoodle is Highfalutin or Highfalutin. And I'm probably not even pronouncing it right. Falutin.
Highfalutin.
Highfalutin. Yeah. Is that what it is? Highfalutin. So here it is in a sentence. Well, aren't you acting all highfalutin with your mammogrammed napkins and imported tea?
Uppity. Hoity-toity.
Yeah. Pretentious, overly fancy, or acting superior. Now, that word originated in 19th century America. It likely stems from the word faluting, and it refers to decorative frills or ornaments with a lot of exaggerating of the fanciness, but in a mocking way.
I like that.
Yeah.
Highfalutin.
Highfalutin. It's like High Felicia, but highfalutin. Mm-hmm. It's just when you're a little bit more
classier. Look at all this highfalutin grandma would call my cooking sometimes. Highfalutin.
Yeah.
Because I'd use things spice, like olive oil and garlic. I don't do none of that highfalutin cooking.
Did grandma ever use olive oil growing up? I think it was just bacon grease
after
and vegetable oil.
I introduced her to it. And I learned a lot of cooking from grandma, but the rest I learned from watching Food Network as a teenager. So when I started using olive oil, I taught her, you know, grandma, this oil is non-saturated. Mm-hmm. Animal fat is saturated. That's what clogs your, you know, your heart and your arteries. This is good for you. It'll make you live longer. And then we couldn't get the extra virgin because she didn't like it. It's stronger. Sure. It has more of an olive flavor, yeah, but just regular. And she started putting it in her ears.
Yeah, I remember that.
But it looked real sketch. If there was anybody at the house, you just see grandma go in the kitchen and grab a big metal spoon and
heat it up.
Heat it up over the flame on the stove. Yeah. And you're like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
This looks like drugs.
Any earache, that would be her tonic.
Just a couple little drops.
Uh-huh. And then put a little cotton ball in your ear.
Yeah. I never let her do it to me. I'm like, I don't want oil in my ear. I've done peroxide a few times, but it's so cold.
Yeah. Well, I was just, when she did it, I was like, oh my God, I hope this isn't going to be too hot. It's going to burn. Yipe. All right. So the next word is cotterwauling.
Cotterwauling.
Yeah. Cotterwauling. I don't know why.
Over there, cotterwauling.
Cotterwauling. Yeah. So this is a loud wailing or an unpleasant noise, often associated with screeching or bad singing.
Oh, yeah.
Cotterwauling.
That cat's in heat out back. I heard her cotterwauling all night long.
So this is from the Middle Dutch words cotter or cat and wallen, which means to cry. It originally described the sound of fighting cats before evolving to describe any unpleasant or routing noise.
One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones, too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
All right,
I like that.
Yeah,
we're gonna have to start incorporating.
Yes, I know. That's what I thought too. All right, so Hornswoggle.
Hornswoggle?
Hornswoggle, yeah.
I don't like it. All right, I've never heard of it, but I like it.
I reckon you've been hornswoggled if you think that that magic elixir is curing anything but thirst.
Oh, trickery.
Yeah, so to cheat, to swindle, to deceive someone in a playful or exaggerated way.
Now, what's that again? Hornswoggled?
Hornswoggle.
Hornswoggle.
This emerged in the 19th century American West. The term was likely invented by cowboys and became popular in tall tales and frontier humor for its whimsical, nonsensical sound. Hornswoggle.
Gina, I everyone knows, but it just like hit me. You know how sometime with history you think things are like vastly separate by time. Yeah. Well, it never occurred to me that during the American Western heyday of the cowboys and the gold mine and everything, that was during Victorian England.
Sure.
It just never, I'm like, oh, they were over there so fancy and, dapper and,
Right.
Then cut to America and we're all like lawless cowboys with syphilis.
So, Josh, I just wanted to give you one of my weekly annoyances for the week.
Yeah.
As well. I almost forgot.
I didn't have any this week. I tried to get annoyed. Look, I'm so easy going. I just try not to let water off a duck's back. Right.
Yeah. For New Year, I get that. So I was a part of a group email this week. And the group email that was sent out did not require any response. However, a lot of people in this group email decided they're going to respond with nonsense. Things like, thanks for letting me know. Have a great day. Happy New Year. That whole email chain lasted about 50 emails. Jesus. And it just kept blowing my people email replying. Up. Yes. Like, there are just certain emails that you just don't need responses to. Yeah. And I was getting really annoyed because my phone kept blowing up. And I'm thinking, did someone die? They're about to.
Oh, I hate that. In group chats.
Yeah. And especially also,
when it's a large group.
And when people start mistakenly responding all. Okay. Whereas, hey, can you guys give me your availability? Look, if someone asks you a question in a group email, just send them a direct response.
Yeah.
Do not reply all. That is a huge annoyance of mine.
Do you have any phones are going to ding?
Yes. You're going to fill up a lot of people's emails. And then you have to like sift through. Like doing all this scrolling.
Yeah. What was important in this?
Yes. All right, Josh. So for my mystery today, this is one of my favorite stories. Ooh. One of my favorite mysteries. And I remember being very young and at grandma's house watching this episode on Unsolved Mysteries.
Ooh.
And it was one of my first episodes and my first really knowledge of extraterrestrials. Yeah.
I was probably sitting right there playing with the Barbies.
You probably were. All right, Josh. So this all began, the whole story begins on the evening of September 19th, 1961. And this is in New Hampshire. So a man and a woman known as the Hills were driving down a lonely stretch of U.S. Route 3. Now, this was after a short vacation to Niagara Falls in Montreal. So the landscape, quiet, it's dark, there's dense forests. The roads out there are very windy. And it's quite isolated, but it gives this whole sense of beauty to the whole scene because of the white mountains and the dense forest, like all of that. You know, just, I'm sure it was very,
sounds
very
right
pretty.
Up my alley.
Yeah, exactly. So at that time, the Cold War was still simmering. That's the time that we're at. And the space race is in full swing. So 1961 was an important time. It was an era where UFO reports were being whispered about often, but very few of those talks and whispers took any traction. Mm-hmm. Definitely none of them really captured the nation's attention as accurate or true or interesting, but this one would. Now, Betty Hill was a social worker in the child welfare department. She was known for her friendly demeanor and her strong sense of responsibility. Barney Hill was Betty's husband. He was employed at the post office, and he was actively involved in civil rights initiatives. By all accounts, Barney was practical, thoughtful, and grounded. Later on, I'll touch on Dr. Benjamin Simon. He is a psychiatrist who worked with hypnotic regression.
Oh, yeah.
But he had worked with them, and I'll get into this a little bit later. He had worked with them to unlock some of their memories, and that leads and expands the story tremendously.
It's like that movie, The Fourth Kind.
Yeah.
That one's scary.
Well, together, Betty and Barney were a typical, respectable couple living in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. Far from the type that you'd expect to craft a wild tale like what I'm about to tell you. Yet what they claimed to experience on that fateful night would not only launch them into the public eye, but it would also redefine the entire UFO phenomenon for generations.
Oh, damn.
Now, Betty and Barney set out for home around 10:30 p.m. They did have their dog, Delcy, with them. Initially, the entire drive was uneventful. The road was empty. The night sky was clear. Now, as they drove through rural New Hampshire, have you ever been to New Hampshire?
I haven't.
Me either. We need to go.
Sounds like a lovely place to go.
I know.
Aliens, even.
Right. Well, Betty noticed that there was this really bright light that started to appear, and it started moving in an erratic pattern. At first, they both dismissed it as that has to be a plane, a satellite, Shrooms. A weather balloon, you know. But those lights were very unpredictable, and it was moving very quickly. So that really started raising the suspicion that they had. So they're approaching the area of Indian Head. The lights that they were seeing started to descend and become closer.
Oh, no.
And they started noticing that the lights seemed to be tracking them. It seemed to be following them. So Barney pulled over the car. He steps outside and he uses binoculars to get a closer look to see what those lights are. He would later claim that through those binoculars, he saw humanoid figures inside the craft. And those figures...
They have windows in the craft?
Evidently. And that those figures were wearing dark uniforms. So the couple get back in the car, and by this point in time, they're panicking. They start hearing some strange beeping and buzzing sounds, and that caused them to feel disoriented. By the time they snapped back to full awareness, they realized 2 hours had passed.
Oh.
And they couldn't account for it.
That's happened to me a few times.
So they arrive home far later than what they had planned, with little recollection of with what had transpired during that two-hour period that they couldn't remember.
Honey, does your butt hurt?
It's a Saturday for John. So Betty noticed that her dress was torn and had a pinkish powdery residue on it. Barney's shoes were scuffed. The leather strap on his binoculars were broken.
God, is alien semen pink and powdery?
I guess we'll have to find out. Right. So their car had the shiny, concentrated markings on the trunk. And when they placed a compass near the car, it would cause it to spin erratically.
Oh.
Now, as word spread about what the Hills had experienced, various theories emerged. The first one is that because of the couple's testimony, which was consistent, they always shared the same exact story. It did not vary. Especially when they would later become under hypnosis, this suggested to people that there was this shared, astonishing, true event. So the first theory is that this is an accurate event. This is true. Now, Betty's recollection of a star map is what she would develop later on. Now, some associate this with this name Zeta Reculi, which became a keystone for believers. Now, the whole Zeta Ricuti, that whole thing was also involved in this story of her memory of a star map. There were some associate named Zeta Reticuli. But that whole thing that I just told you about, there, the first theory is that this is all true. This is all accurate, that right. She did see a star map. Now, the second theory is more psychological and people who believe that they had a hypnotic influence. So skeptics will argue that the intense dreams and the hypnosis may have inspired false memories. Hmm. Betty's nightmares, which started days after the incident, could have seeped into both her and Barney's recollections of the events, especially once they underwent that regression therapy.
How's it going to seep into his, though?
Probably, I think their point is that her talking about it, like all of her dreams, and them being, you know, start mixing the reality to the dreams. So the third theory is more astronomical or terrestrial, but it's misinterpreting what happened. So there are these people who propose that the Hills actually saw a known celestial body, like Jupiter, under unusual conditions. And that was combined with fatigue and stress that they may have developed while driving.
Jupiter don't come down to that.
Right, and you don't lose 2 hours. But their belief is that that may have led to misconceptions or illusions. The whole missing time, in their belief, could be explained by just simple confusion of the road and they got lost, or anxiety of the moment. So my question to you, Josh, and our listeners is, which one of those theories do you feel like holds the most weight for you?
For me, the first one, I think it could be possibly true, especially since they both went through hypnosis.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be interested to know the credentials and the, you know, relationship that whoever put them under hypnosis had. Like, just to...
He was a doctor. His name was Dr. Benjamin Simon. He was a psychiatrist.
Good. So it wasn't like an acquaintance of theirs.
No,
that,
no.
Oh, I just so happened to, you know... Well, that... Especially since it was a, you know, a certified doctor who did it and, you know, had knowledge on how to do it.
Right.
I mean, hypnosis is kind of something you can't really... If you truly are hypnotized, you can't really lie.
Right.
In it.
Now, when they went to go visit that doctor and he did the hypnotic regression, that entire process was done separately on both of them. And each of them would share very similar memories of what happened. So it's not like underneath hypnosis, they started sharing information, but it was completely different.
Right.
So that made it even more seem real.
That does seem more real.
Yeah, and during the hypnosis is when they started talking about what happened during that two-hour window that they couldn't remember. They both share that they were taken aboard a craft, they were both examined, and they were shown advanced technologies.
Ooh.
Now, Dr. Simon was careful about endorsing or dismissing these findings. He acknowledged their emotional trauma was genuine, regardless of whatever people's beliefs were.
True or not, they believed it was true.
Yes, and, very much.
Had retained trauma from it, and understandably.
Initially, the Hills kept their story private. They didn't share it. But eventually, the media got wind of it, and that's kind of when it blew up into national attention. In 1966, John G. Fuller published this article called The Interrupted Journey. And that article detailed the Hills' account, and that really cemented it into UFO lore that we know now. Now, another important thing that I think of whenever I think about the story is that Betty was white, Barney was black. Hmm. So for them to create this entire fake story at a time when one of them being black and the other one being white, and they're married.
Their relationship was dangerous for them to have at that time.
Yeah, so I don't know that they would have given a fake story.
Right, especially since they themselves didn't want it released.
Yeah.
It was the media that...
Who picked it up.
You know,
yeah.
I'm sure they were probably understandably terrified.
Right.
Because they're, you know, back then that was the same as, you know, being gay back...
Oh, yeah.
In the 90s,
right.
You know, you couldn't walk out in public without people yelling stuff at you or spitting on you or, you know.
Yeah, and I think just to draw further attention to themselves doesn't make sense to me. And also, they weren't trying to make money or anything from it. They weren't trying to share it. So it just doesn't make sense to me of why they would lie about it, first of all. And also, we all have been exhausted when we've been driving and on trips and things, but I've never lost... Yeah, I've never lost 2 hours of my time, and I've never
I wish on a long road trip. Could you imagine? You're just, I'm in Florida.
2 hours.
Shit. Right. Well, hope I didn't hit nothing.
Right. So Barney died in 1969, which was just a few years after this. But Betty remained very vocal about their experiences when she was asked. So for decades, the story of Betty and Barney Hill influenced pop culture. It contributed to terms like missing time. That was the first time it had been used. But it attributed that word to the UFO phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
And it really laid the foundation for future abduction narratives. Like when people had those stories, they would compare it to Betty and Barney's experience.
Depending on what species of alien abduction.
Sure. Well, today...
Sounds like the Greys.
It could have been. Today, the Betty and Barney Hill abduction stands as a primary reference point for anyone who studies the UFO phenomenon or people who are just merely curious about alien encounters, abductions, or history. And it really showcases how an ordinary drive home can become the backdrop for this truly extraordinarily odd, bizarre claim is.
Oh, boy.
Now, no matter where you stand on alien abductions, the Hill case still offers us this fascinating glimpse into the power of personal experience, memory, and belief. You know, these were two everyday people who, you know, did not work in astronomy or anything, you know, that would have put them into the way of even thinking about aliens.
Right.
So how could a modest couple who were level-headed, there was never any sense that they couldn't make decisions or would come up with false claims right. in their history. But how could they have, you know, if this
came
if,
up with,
yeah, like, if this thing wasn't true, like how would they have come up with it?
It's not like they had alien movies back then.
I know. It's not like they could just be like, oh, yeah.
Well, there's men on the moon.
Yeah. And now, like, if I had an alien abduction story, I could think back to Betty and Barney Hill's experience and evolve on that. But they didn't have an experience to evolve on. This was the first, encounter like that.
I forget the name of the movie. It's based on a believed to be true story of an alien abduction. And it's quite harsh to watch. Like, it's a very brutal abduction scene. Like,
oh man.
And it that part of the movie is based on actually what the guy who said it happened, like actually what happened. Like, they're poking him, and I forget the name. It's a really good movie. Like, you see the ship.
It's based on a true story.
They put like this milky stuff over his eyes and then like put a tube down his throat and start stabbing him. And
there is an alien abduction story that is rather intense that I am going to share on the Unmasked episode. Okay. So I wonder if it's that one.
It's from all the abduction stories that are believed to be true. It's like the worst one.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it might be then because it gets pretty bad. All right, Josh. So it's for my shit fire today. For my shit fire.
Shit fire. Shit and save fire. The matches.
All right. Picture this. A family moves into their dream home on Long Island, excited for a fresh start. Now the neighborhood is quiet, the house perfect, and everything just seems right. As they settle in, curiosity takes over, and they begin to explore the different areas of the property. That's when they start noticing something strange. They found a rusty hatch partially hidden in the backyard. Well, they couldn't resist but to open it.
Build a gazebo.
And let me tell you.
Shit far
and save the matches. They found a fully intact Cold War era shelter.
Oh, damn.
Now, again, this is in Long Island. But this shelter was built in the 1960s, but it was like a time capsule. They just left it just in case if they would need it, like the, you know, some previous owners.
Yeah.
So this underground bunker was roughly 8 feet by 10 feet. It was completed with reinforced walls, and there were these reinforced steps that would lead down into this eerie, dimly lit chamber that was inside. Once they entered it and were inside, they found shelves stocked with survival supplies.
Oh, wow.
That include canned food, bottled water, medical kits, and even old radiation equipment.
Oh.
Now, some of the labels on the cans had faded, but some were still legible. But they all those labels talked about prepping for the long haul. So it must have been from some company that was selling these bunkers.
Doomsday preppers.
Yeah, for back in the 1960s. But it turns out the bunker was built by the home's original owner during the height of the Cold War paranoia. It was designed as a last-ditch effort, as a refugee just in case of nuclear fallout.
The big ones are coming.
Right. Well, the family even discovered a logbook that detailed the stockpile and instructions for survival.
Ooh, that guy was real into the Cold War.
I know.
Cold War propaganda.
Well, one of the things I thought was really smart on their part is that they ended up calling the police to come in because they wanted to make sure that this thing was safe.
Yeah.
So police came in, they called out professionals.
Get a Geiger counter,
yeah,
just to be sure.
And so experts confirmed that, hey, this was a genuine relic of the Civil War era. And that it was still safe.
Cold War.
I'm sorry, of the Cold War.
I was like, too far back.
That would be impressive.
It was the Underground Railroad headquarters.
But the family is now considering turning that little shelter into a mini museum.
Ooh.
That you'd be able to go to and visit. And I think that would be cool.
Depending on the stairs down there.
Right.
We'll see about.
But I mean, it is a good example of how scared people were.
Oh, yeah.
Of nuclear war.
I've seen one. It was a fallout shelter, and it was from the 60s to 70s, and they had actually like built a whole entire house with like a fake astroturf yard and a in-ground pool, and like it looked like an actual house, and you know they had it fully stocked with canned goods and everything, and it had been kept sealed. You know, they never ended up needing it.
Sure.
And then it was later discovered more recently, and it is just a giant time capsule. I mean, everything's in perfect condition, and it's a very groovy 60s to 70s looking house, like big shag carpet and greens and oranges and flowers and
that's pretty
all
cool.
kinds of yellows in the kitchen.
It'd be interesting. All right, Josh, before we get started on our Unmasked episode, I have this little closing that I wrote.
Oh, heavens.
All right, guys, so remember, if you spot anything suspicious on a late-night drive, take a page from our favorite meddling kids and keep your eyes peeled. Who knows, you might just unmask the biggest mystery of them all. Jinkies. Now, see, if Kim was here, I would have her say jinkies, but jinkies. She's not here because she's unreliable.
Unreliable.
Uh-huh. All right, guys.
Take a vitamin C.
Right. Emergency. All right, guys. Thanks for tuning in to Mystery Inc., where every case is just a roller coaster of thrills, chills, and a dash of groovy detective work.
Oh.
If you enjoy this adventure, subscribe, share it with your friends, and leave us a review. Unless you have a bad review, we don't want to hear it.
Keep it to yourself.
Mm-hmm. Your support helps keep the mystery machine rolling. It helps keep Kim's BVDs clean, and it helps keep Josh off the corner.
It do, and that it, do.
And that it do.
Not off my back, but at least off the corner.
Until next time, stay curious, keep digging for clues, and whatever you do, don't let any spooky phantoms chase you down a hallway without a clever plan. We'll catch you guys on our next.
Bye. Bye.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.